Hi there, I'm Austin, and if you've been listening, you know I love two things. I love etymology and I love history. So what I do with this podcast is I combine the both of them and I tell interesting stories behind words we use every day. But I don't want to tell you what the word is, I want the story to reveal the word. If you follow along to the story, you'll probably be able to guess at some point what the word is. This is our fourth episode, so let's get started. Today's word takes us to the greatest naval power the world has ever seen. Great Britain in the earliest years of the 18th century. Our story focuses on a man, a great naval commander of his time, but his legacy and the reason we know him today stems not from his naval exploits or his heroics on the high seas, but from being a crusty old curmudgeon who wouldn't just loosen up and have a little fun. Edward Vernon was born on November 12, 1684 in Westminster to a privileged and very connected family. Edward's father was Secretary of State to William of Orange, and his brother would eventually go on to be the envoy to Denmark and hold several other parliamentary positions. Using his well-chosen family, Edward attended a prominent secondary school and then entered the Royal Navy in 1700 as a volunteer per order, which was essentially a fast pass to becoming an officer, for people who were able to pull some strings. The position came with a letter from the Crown that basically guaranteed a promotion after 2 years and instructed the commanding officers to treat the recruit as gently as possible. Edward was transferred from ship to ship and was eventually given his guaranteed promotion when he became lieutenant during the War of Spanish Succession. This was one of those strategic, political, late second millennium wars where everyone involved was just trying to shave off a little influence from their enemies or redirect trade routes or just have a general pissing match between irritable men who happened to lead entire nations. Edward was moved around a bunch and ended up being present at some of the most iconic and significant events during the war. Within 5 years, Edward had been promoted to captain, and within 10 years of joining the Navy, he successfully broke up a Spanish fleet and returned to England with honors when the war ended in 1712. At this point, Edward was moved once again from ship to ship and then became a member of Parliament. But the shuffling wasn't over. He was then placed back on a ship, moved to several other ships, and then returned back home, where he was placed back in Parliament. While serving, Edward took up a strange case involving a man with one ear, which eventually led to another war. In the years following the War of Spanish Succession, Britain and Spain had to deal with uneasy terms set out by a treaty they signed. The two nations lived with a strained relationship and tensions rose every year. The treaty they signed allowed Britain to pass an unlimited number of slaves to Spanish colonies, and in return, Spain had the right to inspect any British ship for smuggled cargo. One such ship, the Rebecca, was boarded by Spanish authorities under the pretense of smuggling. The Rebecca's captain, Robert Jenkins, was accused of orchestrating the operation, and the Spanish captain, Juan de Leon Fandino, cut off Jenkins' ear. Jenkins returned to England, went before Parliament and Edward Vernon, and told his story. A few accounts hold that he brought the severed ear to show before Parliament, but historians agree that this is most likely apocryphal. England used the assault as justification for war, and hostilities broke out on July 20th, 1739, when a fleet, led by Edward Vernon, departed from Britain, bound for Venezuela in search of Spanish ships to sink. During long voyages, like the one Edward and his men were on, the sailors obviously required a significant amount of fresh water. However, desalinating seawater was unfeasible, so fresh water from land had to be carried on board. The water was transported and stored in wooden barrels, which tended to grow algae and mold within days, turning the water slimy. To mask the taste, sailors would add beer, wine, or brandy to the water, but this required bringing more barrels on board, in addition to the ones containing each sailor's daily ration of 1 gallon of beer. This created a logistical nightmare for the crew, with barrels piling up on ships, leaving little room for much else. Starting in 1655, rum began to replace beer as the sailors' daily ration drink, because each man only needed half a pint instead of an entire gallon, solving the storage problem. However, the sailors tended to hoard their rum allowances for several days and then drink them all at once, leading to some presumably wild mid-Atlantic parties. Edward Vernon, however, was not a fan of this fun. To prevent any rambunctious behavior, in 1740, Edward ordered that a quart of water be mixed with each sailor's rum ration, and it be split into two parts, one served around lunch and one served at night. This prevented the men from getting drunk, and the stagnant water added caused the drink to spoil quickly, preventing anyone from hoarding their shares. Edward Vernon was known for wearing a coat made of a material called grogram. You've probably seen it. It's a rib type of cloth that has a slight sheen to it, and it's used a lot in ribbons or girls' bows. Every day on board, Edward wore his grogram coat. Due to this, he eventually received the name Old Grog from his men. So when Old Grog started demanding the men drink his disgusting concoction of slime water and rum, they named the stuff Grog. And as people are known to do, the sailors eventually figured out ways of still getting drunk off grog, and they called the resulting nausea, fatigue, and headache feeling groggy. Edward Vernon went on to have a fairly successful war campaign, capturing some key Spanish settlements. He broke through some tough defenses in Colombia and was hailed as a hero back home in Britain. Edward was put on some commemorative coins, saw a ghost, and his men all got diarrhea, and then they all returned home. He was discharged from the Navy, however, when he wrote some pamphlets critical of the Admiralty, but one of the sailors under his command was Lawrence Washington, the half-brother of George Washington, who would go on to name his family's estate, Mount Vernon, after his former commander. So next time you've had a long night of fun, just remember Old Grog and his poor sailors, who weren't allowed to have any. This week's episode was brought to you by me again. If you enjoyed the show, please, a review can be so helpful, and it is greatly appreciated. I hope you'll join us again next week for a new word and a new story. And until then, thanks for listening.